Buffalo can hang on. This is going to be a good one.
The fans at Kansas Speedway know how to have a good time. And you are all invited. NASCAR weekend at Kansas Speedway, May 4th and 5th. Get your tickets now at kansasspeedway.com.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHP. Let's check in with our NFL insider, Adam Kaplan. You can follow him on Twitter, Kaplan NFL, CAPLANNFL. A must follow for football fans. Adam, good morning. The Chiefs Kingdom has not been very happy this week after the basically fourth quarter meltdown in Baltimore that led to the 1-point loss. I'd love to get your reaction to what happened on Sunday Night Football.
Yeah, look, it was an amazing game. I know it did end the way that fans wanted. I mean, they blew two different 11-point leads. They got shit out in the fourth quarter. The run defense, we've seen this since we've been talking on this segment for 3 years now. We've seen the run defense under Steve Spagnuolo every once in a while struggle. And Lamar Jackson was incredible. He made some incredible throws. You know, they didn't have him throw the ball very much in a tight game, in a high-scoring game. They still only threw it 26 times, but he was just incredible on the ground. And Tyson Williams, the undrafted free agent last year, running back, did well. Murray did really well, the journeyman running back. That was not good. Even Devontae Freeman came in there. Latavius Murray gets in there. That was bad. I mean, obviously, they've got to do better against the run. Typically, coaches will tell you privately they don't really worry about the run. It's about the pass that you worry about. But the run game absolutely broke their backs. There's no question about it. Jackson was spectacular. And the thing about that game was fascinating is Jackson throws the pick six to the Honey Badger to open up the game in the first minute of the game. But then the Ravens go down and score. I mean, that's the thing. They just could not capitalize off of it. I still would have bet that they would have won it. But the run defense did hurt them. Their inability to slow down Jackson's splash plays, that to me was really the key. And I'm sure Spags will help clean this up. And they have a couple new players who are starting in the front seven, Bolton and Jaron Reed. That does happen when you have new players. Run fits and have to be better. And then again, you're not going to have to face Lamar Jackson again unless you're in the playoffs.
So the run defense can get better if those guys develop a little bit of chemistry?
I just think overall there were a lot of mistakes in the game. But the thing that coaches will tell you, it's impossible to mimic Lamar Jackson in practice. Like, Patrick Mahomes plays a certain way. He doesn't play like Lamar Jackson. And, you know, the jump pass was ridiculous. I mean, there's no way you could stop that. There's no way you knew it was coming. Nobody knew it was coming. It was an amazing play. I just think you chalk it up to, okay, it happened. There's certain things you absolutely can do better with, and you move on to a team that they really know in the Chargers.
Adam Kaplan's our guest. All right, what about the Chargers? They beat Washington, and then they lose a heartbreaker to Dallas. How good are the Chargers? What kind of matchup is this going to be Sunday at Arrowhead?
Yeah, they had a great win week one at Washington. It was a tight game. Offensively, you know, the funny thing is they've not looked really good. I don't think their offensive line has played at a particularly high level. Justin Herbert forced some throws last week. He was under pressure. He just made some mistakes that he normally would not make. And Dallas was shorthanded on defense. Micah Parsons, their middle linebacker, the first-round pick, had to play left defensive end because Tank Lawrence is on IR. They just don't have anybody else, and he did a great job, and he caused havoc. The Chargers are down. Their right tackle, Brian Bulaga, is still on injured reserve. He's coming back from ACL reconstruction. So they had Storm Norton, number 74, who they say is going to continue to play there. Now, I could tell you he had a good training camp, but he did not play well last week. And Mbushi, the right guard, is a journeyman guard. So the right side is where you're going to do well this week. The Chiefs should have no problem. That's where I think Herbert got pressured and he threw the ball up. He had the two interceptions. That wasn't good. They threw the ball a little bit, probably more than they wanted to, 41 attempts. But the thing that the problem that the Chargers have is they don't run the ball well. Eckler is a guy you're only going to give 9-10 carries to, and he'll do fine. He's explosive. But they don't have anyone who could handle a volume amount of carries. And that That's the problem when you go against the Chiefs. You don't want to keep giving them back the football. Now, I'll say this. Mike Williams has had a great run here. These first two games, he's on the final year of his rookie deal. He's on a fifth-year option. He's the guy at wide receiver that is starting to make some plays, and that their pass game, if they could protect, could make this game interesting.
So this kind of ties into a big storyline in Kansas City, Adam, when you talk about the right tackle situation, because Chris Jones has been lining up at left defensive end quite a bit, and that was a big change this offseason. Two games in, look, he really struggled against that unique offensive attack of the Ravens, and a lot of Chiefs fans seem to be ready to pull the plug on that experiment already, and they want to move him back inside. It sounds like if he's going to do well at defensive end, this will be a little bit more of an opportunity for him to get into the backfield and cause pressure on the quarterback. How closely should we be watching that matchup? And what are your thoughts on how long should the Chiefs stick with this idea of using Chris Jones at defensive end?
You know, it's one thing if the tape is bad where he's just not comfortable with the techniques and it's just not working. After four games and a quarter of a season almost, you need to make a decision. But if it's just a work-in-progress situation, just keep going with it. I mean, the guy's an explosive pass rusher. Guy's a veteran. He's been around a long time. It's just a different mindset to go from playing inside with that technique to go and playing on the outside. And remember, Frank Clark had the hamstring injury. He's now over it. You expect him to get better going forward. Jaron Reed is the thing about Jaron Reed is, by the way, the guy's a really good pass rusher. This is how he's made his bones, so to speak, in the National Football League. He's a pass rusher. So the pass rush should get better going forward. Now, again, you have these two significant changes with Jones playing outside and you add Reed. It's going to take some time. I think we need to understand that. It doesn't happen overnight. And it just, you know, over time, particularly based on the matchups, they should start winning. And this week, in the third game, their left side should do very well against the Chargers' right side of their offensive line. That, to me, is a major advantage for the Chiefs.
Okay, what's the official prediction for Chiefs-Chargers?
Yeah, I definitely believe the Chiefs will win this game. I would be surprised if they struggled. Last week was a little bit of a surprise to me because Baltimore, you know, on a short week, they blew a 14-point lead at the Raiders. They had some injuries, and they found a way to win. I give them credit. Lamar Jackson was superhuman. It was an awesome game to watch. I know Chiefs fans don't like hearing that, but it was, from a spectator point, fun, really good football. This game, Chargers will play good defense, though. That I know, and they obviously know the Chiefs very well. I'll pick the Chiefs to win 24-17.
24-17 Chiefs over Chargers. All right. Tonight on Thursday Night Football, the Panthers are 8-point favorites on the road against Houston. The Panthers, if they win tonight, they'll be 3-0. Are the Panthers good?
The funny thing, their schedule has been so good. If you look at some of the teams have gotten off to a good start, scheduling matters. The Panthers, look, they did a great job against the Saints, who had an amazing win in Week 1. Panthers just got by the Jets in Week 1. I'm not totally sold on them. I did think they would be an 8 or 9 win team, somewhere around the 500 mark. The Texans are a bad football team. I give them credit for beating an awful Jaguar team in Week 1. They didn't play great, but they were competitive against Cleveland. Now, Davis Mills will make his first ever NFL start. He's a big pocket passer out of Stanford who had a major knee injury earlier in his career. He doesn't move all that well. The Texans should not win this game. If the Panthers don't win this fairly easily, I'd be surprised because of the quarterback situation that the Texans have.
Well, the quarterback situation with the Panthers is a really interesting one, Adam, because Sam Darnold, you know, he highly touted coming out of college. It didn't work with the Jets. It never seems to work for anybody with the Jets. And now it's at least off to a good start with Carolina. Our guy, Jake Gutierrez, has always been a believer in him and wanted and thought maybe a change would give him an opportunity. I've seen some people suggesting that this is about getting to a place that will actually work with his strengths and instead of trying to fit a square peg into a round hole with their scheme. And I've also seen those suggest that he just finally has a decent offensive line and some time to throw the ball. He's not getting hit every time he drops back. Is it a little bit of both? What are you seeing from Darnold, and how good can he be?
Yeah, from talking to the Panthers, the one thing that they wanted him to do, which was he wasn't doing well with it, was processing better. In May and June, remember, he had learned this new offense from Joe Brady, and it just wasn't clicking. And then when I was with them 2 days in training camp, and just following up with them, they said he just started to click. He started to get the timing of the offense. and it's working. DJ Moore's gotten off to a great start. He's up for a new contract. They extended Robbie Anderson's contract. Talking to them, they want to do the entire offseason. They're really happy with him. Now, they've got an issue at left tackle. Cam Irving's their left tackle. He's not a starting left tackle. I'm told that the Panthers were shopping for a left tackle before the season started. They called several teams, including the Eagles, to see what the availability of some left tackles were. But that's going to be their one issue in offense. And their defense, by the way, they have a brand-new offense. They're running a hybrid. They were running a 4-2-5 last year. And this year they're running sort of a 3-4-4-3, and it is produced sacks. They're getting pressure. They're getting sacks. Watch out for Brian Burns tonight, who's terrific, and Hassan Riddick, who played for Matt Rhule at Temple.
Adam Kaplan is our guest. Adam, the Dolphins play at the 2-0 Raiders. The Raiders are favored by 4. I thought the Raiders would be 0-2 after facing the Ravens and the Steelers, and they're 2-0. I expect them to win this matchup now, which means they'll probably lose. But what do you think of the Raiders? Are they the second-best team in the AFC West and the top competition for the Chiefs?
Yeah, I still think the Chargers will beat out the Raiders. Yeah, I give the Raiders a ton of credit. Short week, they got to travel. They have to play, you know, at 1 o'clock Eastern, which is, you know, kind of like in their mindset, 10 a.m. their time. And the Steelers are out. Joe Hayden, their top corner. The Raiders took advantage of it. Henry Ruggs had a breakout game. He was great. The one issue the Steelers have is a corner. They're not deep there. That's how you're going to beat them, by throwing the football. And they did that. The Raiders were very aggressive. I give them credit. And the other thing is, talking to the Raiders, they thought all along that the defense would be better than the outside thought. They thought that they did well in the draft, and Max Crosby's back. He's playing well. He's healthy. They went with a bunch of veteran D tackles who are doing a good job, and Derek Carr's been terrific. He'll play this week. He's got an ankle injury, but he'll definitely play. Their offense is starting to take off. They're doing really well. It's good to see in that. It'll make the division more competitive, because we've been laughing at the Raiders for years, but John Gruden's gotten them off to a better start.
Another terrific matchup. This is maybe the best matchup on Sunday. The Buccaneers at the Rams, battle of a couple of 2-0 teams, and a battle of a couple of teams that are at least Super Bowl contenders right now. Who do you like between the Buccaneers and the Rams in L.A.?
Yeah, the Rams last week, they almost blew that game. They had a decent lead, and then they had the awful punt snap, which caused them to give up a touchdown. Matthew Stafford's been on fire. He's been great. He's exactly what you would think with Sean McVay, and they're so deep in pass targets. They have the biggest, they have the deepest pass target group in the National Football League. Their defense is really good. They're playing well. The Bucs, Tom Brady's unstoppable. It would not surprise me if he broke Peyton Manning's touchdown record for one season.
Wow.
I mean, he's going to average at least 3 a game. It's just ridiculous. They don't even attempt to run the football, nor should they, because Tom Brady does not need a run game, and the run game's awful anyway. Just throw the football. They're doing it. Unfortunately, Antonio Brown's on the COVID list, so we'll have to see if he's going to be available. But that's a tight game. That's a very tight game. I'm going to pick the Rams, though, in a very tight game by 3.
Sunday night's a pretty good game, the Packers versus the 49ers. Packers, of course, got blown out in Week 1, bounced back with a win in Week 2. Aaron Rodgers is telling all of the pundits to shut it now. What do you think of their chances going to a 2-0 San Francisco team, though?
Yeah, the Niners are really beat up. All the running backs are hurt. It's going to be hard for them, because their ability to win is impacted if they cannot run the football. They didn't run the ball very well, and they didn't score very much at Philly. They only scored 17 points, but their defense was great. I just think the Packers, my one issue with the Packers is their defense worries me. Under Joe Barry, their new defense coordinator, talking to the Packers, they thought their defense would be more aggressive, opposed to where Mike Pettine's was sort of passive. Mike Pettine's a senior defensive assistant for the Bears now, but their defense does not look good at all. They had an awful first half against the Lions, and they turn around, more or less shut them out in the second half, but the Lions are just a bad football team. They don't have a lot of talent on offense. I do believe the Packers will find a way to win this game, because I'm worried about the Niners' ability to run the football.
Adam, real quick before we let you go, Monday Night Football, Eagles and Cowboys. The Chiefs are going to see the Eagles Week 4. They've been better than I thought they'd be in the first two games. Who do you like here? Who's the better team, the Eagles or the Cowboys?
Yeah, it's close. Dallas, I give them credit. With all the injuries they have on defense, they're playing competitive football. Week one was not good at the Bucs, but they played very well last week, as I said, against the Chargers. And Philly, they completely changed their defense. They're going all zone. They play more zone defense than anyone. Their pass rush is decent, though they lost Brandon Graham, one of their starting DNs for the season due to torn Achilles. That's going to be a problem. Eagles have a really good offensive line. They've got a lot of speed at receiver, which was always a problem for them. But they're one of the fastest receiver groups in the NFL. I'm going to pick Dallas in that game. I think it's a fairly high scoring game. But my issue for Philly is the loss of Brandon Graham, and that Dallas could spread you out and watch Tony Pollard, the backup running back to Zeke Elliott, who's maybe the NFL's best backup running back. He's terrific, and he gives him more explosiveness. He's hard to stop. That's a good 1-2 punch there.
Adam, thank you so much for the great info. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good, guys. Thank you.
That's Adam Kaplan, one of our great NFL insiders. That is absolutely a must-listen if you are an NFL fan. Great stuff from Adam Kaplan. We'll take a break and hopefully get some great stuff from Gary Lezak about this wonderful weather. Lezak, thank you so much for the crisp, cool weather that you've delivered on this beautiful Thursday morning. Back after this on WHB.